Bone job. And this is not a little project. This is like 200,000 square feet.
It's a gutter between roofs with a hole punched in it.
Well, they thought they're fixing the drain. See that little hole? Inch and a half hole. And we got 50 foot up to the peak on each side. And as long as you can, about 500 feet long.
That's the water outlet right there?
A water outlet.
Oh. Okay.
And so what we usually do with these roofs, this is a metal roof here and here. What we usually do, this one's closed off with a drip edge. Somebody did pretty decent there. But here, we put butyl tape down there on the metal. Let's say the foam's not there. Butyl tape, stick it on here and fold it down there and stick it on there. And quick caulk all that. Close it all up.
You go in and so, in other words, you went in, did you cut that off or was that butted straight up to the edge like that? Because you'll find a lot of them overlap. Uh-huh.
I got a standing bid on this job, hoping to land it this year. It's landed with a handshake, okay? And a look in the eye. Nothing on a dotted line yet. But this is what the other guy did. Foamed it, real thin coating, leaking. And what we're going to do with this is bypass all that gutter, put retrofit drains up, bring it up to this roof plane, and build crickets in there between the drains on each one. Well, he'll have a seamless roof.
That's what I. Does everybody know what a cricket is?
No.
It chirps at night.
It burns the water.
There you go.
A cricket is something framed in the roof plane to divert the water down to the drain.
Build that slope.
Or off the roof. Some people call them saddles too.
Yeah. This project was foamed 2 years ago, and it doesn't have enough of foam on it, and it's got one thin coat of top coat on it. And the project is in court right now, so based off of my quotes, he's using that number to do some
My only concern with that would be if you build that up, you're increasing the amount of snow shadow that's going up the slope of the roof. And all that, at each one of those E's, is that pre-engineer still building?
It's an old, ancient building.
Probably an old steel truss.
Steel mill.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much room do you have between these drains?
40 feet. I'm just going to slope it up. I'm going to probably make a 2 foot rise, snap a line down to the drain, and sheet it with plywood and foam it. You know, just as long as the water comes off and it's seamless. He said that he had 3 other roofers there, and they all walked out the door. And he asked, the first question, he said, are you certified by BASF? I said, no, but I'm trained by SFPA's president. I'm trained by Conklin, and they use BASF's products. He said, okay, what's the solution? I told him the solution. He said, you got the job. I want you to do it. But that's as far as it went, and we're just communicating. He's getting grants and going through the court with all this because he really got reamed with that. So we'll see how it works out. Any other questions on this or things to talk about on this problem here? That problem is very, it's out there a lot between the buildings.
I'm going to share this on one of my slide presentations tomorrow, but I did a job last year. It was like this. 5 buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They put it together. You know, they did 2 buildings, and they did an addition, and they created 4 of these gutters that were 250 feet long. And but I'll share it tomorrow. I made some serious, serious money off that job, and it was just the gutters. It wasn't the rest of the roof system.
That's right.
But they wanted me to prove something to them. They wanted me to prove the Conklin would work. And so I did it with the gutters, and they were like, wow, you didn't get all the leaks, but you got 95% of them. And we are so impressed that, you know, their gutters were bigger, so it wasn't that wasn't the problem. But I'll explain more of that tomorrow. But it's a great lead into a bigger job, because these are out there, and
for cold calling,
a lot of roofers will walk away from them.
For cold calling, if you see roofs along the road that are stacked together like and have these gutters, stop in. You got a real good chance. If you have a solution for them, you know, because a lot of them have problems. And the ice damming on these roofs, they all leak. One time or the other, they're going to have real heavy rain pours where the gutter can't contain all that volume. That's when they get their leaks here. Might be once a year or once every 2 years, but what they have underneath there, they don't want a drop of water. So these buildings are good candidates for cold calls. There's a lot of roofers, they patch and fix and patch and fix, and they still never get anywhere. You just got to eliminate them, bypass them, come up with another plan. EPDM roof with pucks.
What are those pucks?
They're plastic covered screws.
They lay the EPDM over top of it, and that cap screws down on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what secures the EPDM to the roof.
Wow.
You don't see them very often. 18 years, I've probably run across a handful.
I've seen them, but they have a lot bigger plate than that. They have like a 6-inch plate instead of a little one.
Yep.
This roof here is sloped from the ends into the middle, and the drains are working fine, but you got all this ponding. Does anybody have any clues what's going on? Well, clogging is, even if you take all the leaves out of the drains, you still got this. There was ducks on this roof when I got there. 3 inches in the middle.
The roof system sinking in?
The insulation is deteriorating. It's been wet for years. As deterioration years go on, more deterioration, so it keeps sinking as older it gets. I had my competitor bidder on here quoted to bid coating this.
Mm-hmm. I might as well just give him the money. Let him know I'm out of road.
What kind of product?
Silicone, urethane on the pucks, and I don't know what else. But supposedly I got the job. They're going to do it in sections because it's a total tear-off. Decking needs replaced in a lot of places. So this bid was over $160,000 more than the other competitor, but I got it. I didn't get it yet, but this is what I do. If it's in the wintertime or in the fall, I make a contract, a maintenance contract, to keep you dry till the spring. In the spring, you can sign, and we'll get sections done or whatever. So we've been on, my guys have been on and off of this roof for the last couple months. He just called me the other day, we got another little leak down at the far wall where the decking's deteriorated. So we go out there with some products and smear some more on.
We do about the same thing, but like I just signed one 2 weeks ago, and we did the same thing. You know, we did an agreement where we'd fix his leaks through the winter.
Yep.
And he went ahead and signed the contract, so we've already got the job for springtime. And we just go out there and take care of the leaks.
Yep.
Move the buckets around.
Yep.
My guess was going to be that, but I noticed that the unit isn't that old, but I ran into where somebody puts a unit in after the fact, but the structure wasn't made to support the unit in that spot, and to the untrained eye, they wouldn't notice, but that roof sank an inch or a couple inches, maybe 3 inches in that spot, creating that ponding around that unit, and they're wondering why it's not going to the drain, which is right over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something you got to look at, because on a dry day or maybe you hadn't had rain in the
right.
You might not notice it.
But I did some core tests. It's totally saturated even up on the high spots.
Mm-hmm.
It's layered. It's got EPDM, fiberboard, tar and stone, and more insulation. Majority of tar and stone insulation is wet.
And you're hiring somebody to come and do that, right? Because you don't want to tear it off yourself. That'd be me. That'd be me.
You guys mind sharing like the maintenance of, you guys were just sharing about a couple of maintenance ideas to get through winter. Do you like charge on an hourly basis and then tell them there's no warranty?
What I normally do is I'll charge them for the repair initially, and then, you know, if it leaks any time after that, we go back for free. So
that's what I did with these guys. I made $10,000 to get them through April. My guys were there. Two guys were there probably 2 days, and we've been there a couple other, three other times. So when April comes around, we're ready to move on for the worst section.
What are you putting back on this roof?
We're going to be doing polyiso board, foam, and plastic. New coping all around. This is a recoat that I did, 26-year-old Rabbit Roof 3. Did some core tests where it was soft. The polyurethane foam deteriorates over time like that. So, you know, it might have been leaking, you know, over a 10-year period or something like that. But there was ants and termites under there. But the rest, the roof, the coating looked good. That's Conklin. But it looks like it was recoated a couple times, but he just told me it was 26 years old, but it looked like it was recoated a couple times. Rabbit Roof 3, probably every 10 years. What would you do there?
Gallon of gas and a lighter. Put a cricket.
That's that same steel mill. Just one of the other problem areas. Same solution there. The drains are bigger here.
How big is that slope?
Here's this drain and here's that drain. So it's about 40 feet. Put a cricket up here like that. And that cricket will come out like this.
How big is that slope though? I mean, you think, are you going to put a bigger drain in, or are those big enough to handle?
You got enough volume. It's six inch pipe.
Six inch.
Yeah. That's a 512. If I get this sign, Tony, I might want you to help on this one. It's not going to be a fun one. That's
right.
For sure.
That's a monster of a job.
Any other discussions on this view?
How far apart are your drains or downspouts?
40 feet. The problem is when they get a big gushing downpour, this overflows. It just leaks periodically.
Everywhere.
And water damming, I mean ice damming. When it freezes up in the winter, it's a problem too.
What's your solution on that?
We're going to frame crickets in between the drains and foam the whole thing.
Seems like to me you'd want to put a drain in between those. 40 feet. I don't know.
That's a lot. Or increase the size of
terrain.
I
mean, it seems to me like...
Well, this, from the bottom to the top, is only about 50 feet. So this particular, this area doesn't have that much volume. Okay. I usually go by, there's a website you can use, engineering.com. by square foot for square inches of water. Square inches of...
what is that website?
I'm not sure. I'd have to Google it. But I know I've used it a couple times to calculate gutter size for square footage. This is what I was talking about, the 220-gallon totes. Have three of them set up. If you're running a lot of material in one day, a guy can just come out and switch it out. Have them all set up. That's a job we did this summer. Total tear off. Rusty deck. That was just powder. Mm-hmm. Had to wear a mask to get that stuff off.
We did a steel mill like that. And it was actually just the dust and stuff coming out, you know, from melting steel. I mean, it was probably that deep up against the building. It was that same way. Just powder.
So we cleaned that all up. And we primed it with rust inhibiting primer. So this is something to look for when you're going in and look at the project in the beginning. See if you can see little rust spots up there.
No, that's just the insulation board.
When you start tearing that off, it's hard to say what you're going to get into sometimes. So this was a ponding area right here. So anytime you see ponding areas, there's good indication there's deterioration underneath it. I usually don't like to put my core test in a ponding area. Just because I don't want to create another leak while I'm giving them a bid.
It doesn't look good on the resume, does it?
Just a picture of our equipment. I rented that machine on that job. That was, we took 50,000 pounds of junk off of this roof. Old units, took them down, scrapped them. And I had put in my bid that we're going to take it off with a crane. But here come find out I needed a 130-ton crane to reach. So the company here was so happy that they're getting the new roof. Five guys came up there every day and helped me tear them down. And they didn't want paid.
Wow. Got their numbers?
So it worked out pretty good. We just dismantled them up there and hauled them up, manhauled them up to the lift and took them down and put them. I had dumpsters set up for copper, metal, and aluminum. And it was about four or five different categories. So that was a pretty good deal. I mean, instead of paying the crane $15,000, the scrap was like $6,000. This company is a glass company, and they have these old... they still burn the glass by hand, blow the glass by hand. So they have these burners in the middle of the building. And the winter, every winter, when they get a snow, the snow melts where the burners are. And then it runs 75 feet down the roof and freezes. And it was a standing seam. That's what I used that rig for on that job. And the water dam's so higher than the seam, it leaked into the seams. So we had to caulk all them seams. It was over 8 miles of seams. So, they're happy this winter. So far, no leaks. Emergency work. How many guys do that? It's a very good avenue to get your foot in the door. A lot of business owners. This is a ballast roof. Me and my guy were on there for about an hour looking for this little thing. I got my phone real close. We finally found it. Ballast is tough to find. There's so much dirt. Wee little hole in our rubber caused a big leak.
little plan that Amos is if you buy those, I don't know if you call them, we call them ceiling funnels or roof funnels. You can get them out of those catalogs where manufacturers can put them up in the ceiling. If they have a leak over an assembly line or a computer or something, it'll catch that water and divert it to a barrel for temporary.
Yeah, that's a good idea to keep those on hand.
And when the building owner calls you or you know somebody, they can come in. Sometimes I even can encourage my building owners to keep one or two on hand in their facility in case I can't get there in time. And, boy, they love me for that. It's just like...
Because one of my clientele is a property manager. They lost an elevator control mod board because of the leak. Mm-hmm. And my son went out with the product and stopped the leak in the rain. But they still, it was too late. They lost the module. It cost them thousands of dollars.
Yep.
But the emergency work is incredible to get your credibility up there.
I saw that. That's how we get your foot in the door. You got a name for that
problem? They're in any kind of roofing magazine. You can just Google them. A lot of different manufacturers make them. But they just look like a big plastic bag, like a big funnel, and it has a little thing that comes down and goes into a barrel.
Do you have anything to say on this? Emergency work?
Nope.
If you do, just pipe it out. Just another sight view of the tools and equipment. That thing there is my handyman, I'm telling you what. We use that thing a lot. One of the jobs I got this camper under a business. We lived on the job. That's a business tool. That was fun. Here is I remove these guys, every one of them, if I do a roof like that. And I get the flathead tap screws. We put the ply system right across there. Whoever was the engineer on them just wasn't very smart. They don't work. They
come on now, they got the little spot in the middle there, and the water's supposed to flow through that little spot there. we take them off too. And then we do the same thing you do. Take them off, put a pan head screw in.
Yep.
Fabric in like a regular, you know.
But you leave the bar, right? Mm-hmm. No, I think bar
on. See, underneath this bar, there's another layer of heavy steel, so your screw is really grabbing to something solid.
That's called a stiffener plate. If you remove that strap, you weaken the uplift of that joint.
We've never had problems.
It's UL-rated wood. If you take that off there, you're reducing it. Why can't you foam over?
This wasn't a foam job. It was an MR job.
Regular MR system.
So what is your... Can you explain why you take those off?
It catches too much water.
Causes ponding?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you take it off?
And it heads right to
the screw. When you put the ply system on, you can't efficiently put the ply system on the spun flex on there without creating air bubbles.
Once you do that, you'll have water. It'll be 24 inches up the roof. You'll have a big puddle up the roof. I mean... Mm-hmm. It creates quite... You wouldn't think it would create that big of a dam, but it does.
Yeah. Right. There's the doohickey. Didn't give it a name yet.
Roof Rover.
Okay. Anything else? You want to talk about any questions, any comments? I'm going to go through my proposals here and show a little bit about my proposals.
Are those on the screen or just with your hands?
I have some on the screen.
Lights on.
Probably won't work on there, though.
I got a name for your duty, the Amos Once Over Rover.
Huh?
No charge for that.
Okay. proposals. I will. When I go out to look at a job, I always ask, of course, where the address is, and where his address is. If he needs I get the address, and then I look on Google, and I print out a Google sheet. I pretty much know what I'm looking at when I get there. And then when I'm on the roof, I can mark on the Google sheet. It's helped me a lot. I don't know if you guys do that. I'd like to hear you guys, the way you guys do, and you guys are more experienced.
Repeat that again. What were you?
I take a Google view picture and print it out on a 9x11 sheet. Mm-hmm. Take it out with me. Just that alone has impressed customers. I've noticed. I had a couple of them coming. Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
You know? And I just mark it on that unit, the size of the unit, where the drain is. If you print it out in color, you have a pretty good printer, you can see a lot of stuff on that.
That's what we do, too. And then you can make your notations, you know, ponding water and stuff like that. We just make our notations right on that sheet. And then when I'm sitting down writing up the proposal, I know exactly. I just look at it, and I don't have to remember or try and go through pictures.
The job that I showed you with the one I was using with standing seam with that sprayer there, I got that job without meeting them. Sometimes you run into people, their corporate managers lives in where, you know, this guy was in Vermont, but his business was down here. We just collaborated an email, phone. I went out and met his maintenance manager, measured up the job, and gave him a couple different options, and they said they want to go with me. And I asked why. You know, what made you choose me? He said, because your proposal was detailed. If it's not in writing, they're not going to remember. So I just put it in detail. I mean, write it out. He said the other guys, they just wrote a little bit of coding what they're going to do. And so I have some samples here. I don't have it on the screen. My first page is the proposal. And now I'm going to integrate. I'm going to do some different things in 2017. I don't know, were you here last year and William Schrock was here about his warranty program, maintenance program?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, that's good. What William Schrock does in Montana is good.
I'd actually like to say a little bit about it because I've helped Phil build a couple of
those. Okay, go ahead.
So what was really good about it, you know, when you try to sell them a warranty, a lot of times it's hard for them to understand why they want to pay for something they feel they should get for free. And Conklin, you know, protect their name, they want you to actually go out there and inspect it every year. Well, if you make it part of a maintenance package, I actually have it all spelled out over there somewhere. I can pass it around. But, you know, if you just spend $20 on some caulk and touch up a couple areas, that'll put you above everybody else bidding that job. Just to add the maintenance value to the warranty. That's about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that to my proposal this year. I didn't yet, but I need to get home and do that. Another thing I'm going to add to my proposals is pictures, problem areas, and notes. I wasn't doing that prior. My proposals were probably about an average of 6 pages. I usually ask my customers why you didn't get me or why you chose this guy. Some of them say, I've heard them say, the other guy's proposal was 50 pages long. I mean, it could be too detailed or not enough. So somehow if we can make it simplify it and still make it powerful, I think is what will work. Because like I say, some of the guys you can't meet unless you drive for a couple of days to meet them. the first time we met with them is when we got together to sign.
So you do more with paperwork than, like, if you get in front of a client, do you do, like, a PowerPoint presentation at all? Or?
I haven't done that yet. That's an option, especially for some corporate businesses where they have five different CEOs and stuff
sure.
like that.
I mean, obviously, it takes time to, versus the guy that's got 15 pages. If you're showing them, hey, I was up on the roof, and here's a picture of this, and here's an area that's a problem, and you can just, with the tablet anymore, you can even buzz through it on your tablet. But that's helped me on the residential side. I don't really know too much on the commercial side, but people love to see. I mean, I can go on any roof and find problems, and I'm going to take pictures of them and show the homeowner, create some urgency, like, you need a roof, dude. Look at your chimney. Look
you
at this
pass
pipe
them around.
Roof.
Yeah, see, I put those in my bed. Just like you, I have to put all my pictures in my bed, and I'll put a little notation
yeah.
below what the problem
yeah,
is. That way they can see the exact problem. Because most of your building owners, I've had a lot of maintenance guys, you know, their facility maintenance guys, they've never even set foot on the roof. They don't even know what's up there. Sure. So if you give them pictures, you know, and a little notation of what the problem is with your bed, it seems to help a lot.
Well, and that way they can kind of look it over, too, at their leisure rather than feeling like they're getting sales pitched. So I think both, you know, I think that's a good idea, too.
My experience is when I go to meet a building owner that has problems, win his trust, I guess I could call it a handshake close. Like, basically, the signature didn't mean much. It was like, I want you to do the job. You have that feeling within yourself, I got this. You know? And you let it go. One of them, well, that one I just showed you, that one was at neutral state for a year on a handshake. Well, not even a handshake, just a yes on the phone. Yeah, I want you to do the job. With nothing signed yet because they had to do the budget and they had to, you know, work things out in their business. So I would say the first 14, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, the first impression is the most important. And that's just coming in there with confidence. You got a solution for them. And one thing that's helped me with that is you look at Google, you check it out, you ask them what their problem is. You already know pretty much their solution before you meet them. And then you can go in with confidence and say, here, this is
a question. Do you ever do any Eagle Views or roof orders to kind of know how many square feet you're working with before? Or?
Yes, we do Eagle Views. Some of my proposals actually have the Eagle View documents right in, depending on the broken up in six different sections.
But that costs money, so you're not going to do it if it's just a square, right? You're going to go up there and measure it, and there's no reason to spend. I mean, I can get a quick square on a residential house for $18, but a standard Eagle View is like 50 or 55.
For commercial, what is it, 70?
85
on a commercial.
Yeah, some of them jobs, you'd spend a day measuring everything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's certainly worth it
yeah.
in certain instances. You know, with order
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Commercial?
I don't know about commercial.
Oh,
yeah. When I do Eagle Views, I walk through up anyway. Because there's a lot of stuff you're not going to see.
No, yeah, absolutely.
But it is a very important part of what we do when we meet with building owners. Because like you said, the Google picture is good, but when they see that Eagle View with all the detail stuff in there,
yep.
it really looks like you know what you're doing.
You just went up a notch in their
yeah.
book like that. Just get those really good.
Yeah.
So, for sure.
Where'd you get your folder and your presentation back?
Yeah, right behind you.
He will hook you up.
And then the one proposal that I got sent in around there, I put in the safety plan, what the schedule is, when we could do it, how long it would take, what the size of the crew, any subs, all that. So I don't know. No one proposal is the same. I do them all by hand. So
yeah,
I just, however I feel, helping feel like the person wants to do it, wants to have it. That's what I do.
One thing we're going to work on this year, I learned this from a gutter guy of all people, was he had a little 15-minute DVD made up that he used with his presentation.
Yeah.
He meets with the customer, explains who the company is, just does a little snippet, and then he says, here's a little video about how we do things and what we're looking for, and you can watch this while I'm up there measuring. And most of the time you know how long it's going to take to go up and do your measurement. He times it, it's on a smaller scale, so he times it. He gets back in the truck, he does his estimate, he knows right on his watch exactly when they're going to get done watching that DVD. He walks in just before it's done, it flows together, everything's fresh in their mind, he asks if they have any questions about the video, and then it keeps them engaged the whole time, instead of, I don't know how many times, like you go back into the facility and you spend 10 minutes looking for the manager again, that you, because he's off doing something else again, and that keeps them engaged. Although now with technology nowadays, you could always use a video that's already on YouTube of MR systems or something like that. Mm-hmm. Bring a tablet along, and if he's on the roof walking with you, that keeps them engaged and educates them a little bit while you're doing your thing, your 15 or 20 minutes, 30 minutes on the roof. So.
Anything else?
Get on some roofs.
I think there was something on the bottom of the schedule.
I'm not sure. Question is, anybody or like yourself that's been in a while, are you seeing things more real, more digital? Like, are you signing contracts via iPad, or are you still digital?
Emails? We do a lot of contracts by email. Yeah,
same here. I very seldom hand one of those out that I'm passing around. They all want email because the CEO has six other partners.
What about like a CRM? Do you guys have a specific CRM that you use to track your customers or help them follow up? Or
I have one, but I haven't used it like I want to.
Right.
We're going to work on that.
We're actually going to set up Rodney with a CRM on Sunday, but we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. And just for those that don't know what CRM is, basically you manage all your customers, all your prospects. You can very quickly find out, okay, who are my hot leads? I talked to Tim, you know, 6 months ago, but I can't remember anything about his roof. You know, that would all be in there for you. The one that I've been recommending contractors use is Capsule CRM. It's not very powerful, but it's very simple. And they'll give you like 100 records and 2 logins, so you know, you could have a login, your secretary could have a login, and whether you call her and tell her to put in the information or you do it with your phone, it works really well.
It's maybe not so much for the commercial, but there's another one that's fairly new. It's called iRoofing. Everybody's familiar with that, but
I've seen that.
You can actually do your get like an Eagle View as well as track your customers, and you can actually do a product demonstration on it, like.
Do they do commercial or mostly residential?
Yeah, most right now the trial I did was just residential, but then again, I didn't try.
I'm just looking into them too. I think they'll do both.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
That would be pretty nice.
Their Eagle Views are a fraction of what. Eagle Views are.
Eagle View is accurate though. I mean,
they're accurate.
I've tested them.
Yeah,
they've been pretty accurate. With
another really, really good one is RoofSnap.
Okay, I've seen that.
You can actually, with RoofSnap, you can write from the program, you can create an estimate, material order, contract, all your documents right from there and, like, snap a finger. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of setup, but once it's all done, it's pretty fast.